Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through 9 of 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Sean is off for the next 2 days, but I'm going to do my best to hold it down in his absence. Producing this thing is Rob Brenton. Derek Jeter today said, quote, "It is unfortunate about the MLB labor dispute because it was disappointing, embarrassing at times, the back and forth." I don't really know if it was a whole lot of back and forth. The players were doing their part. I don't know if the owners were doing theirs, but you know what? It's time to let bygones be bygones. We have moved forward as a society in not talking about the problems between the Major League Baseball players and the owners. Coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes, we'll be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. We'll talk about the issues today in Kansas City, the requirement for you to wear a mask indoors in Kansas City. We'll also talk about the renaming of the fountain and the plaza. We'll do all that. But first, Rob, let's get to the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go!
This Mike Garafolo report from last night put Chris Jones into a tizzy on Twitter.
No, I'm going with the list. I'm going with the guy that's tied for number 6. That would be Kansas City defensive lineman Chris Jones, who's on the tag at 16. Million plus this year, but always viewed himself as a $20 million plus per year guy. The Chiefs, frankly, never did. Even before the whole COVID situation, never made an offer north of $20 million. Felt like they could get him somewhere below that. So a lot of work to be done here if there's going to be a long-term deal for Chris Jones, who was disruptive throughout the regular season and then in the postseason as well, had a pressure in the Super Bowl that led to an interception. This is a guy that has put up the production the last couple years to deserve a long-term deal. Not quite sure it's going to happen, though.
After that report, Jones sent out a tweet insinuating he would sit out after seeing that. Do you think Jones will actually sit out this upcoming season?
No, I don't think there's any leverage for him to be able to sit out. If you're Chris Jones, you got three options. The first option is shut up and go to work. Now, that might sound callous, but that's the option that all of us have. You go ask your boss for a raise. Your boss says, nah, earnings were down this year, so we're not in the business of giving out raises. At that point, a majority of people just say, okay. They turn around and they go back to work. Chris Jones has the option to not show up. Nobody's forcing him to play football. Chris Jones can go and say, hey, I want to be paid X. You guys don't want to pay me X. I will not show up until I get that amount. That is certainly within his right. The other option is to try to force a trade. But if I'm the Chiefs, I don't know what incentive there is to trade Chris Jones. You're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. This whole season has been about hashtag run it back. Chris Jones is part of running it back. You're not trading him before the season and after the NFL draft. If you were going to trade him, you were going to do a Dee Ford situation. You were going to do a DeForest Buckner situation. You were going to do that. You're not, while you're trying to win a Super Bowl, trading one of your top 8 players right before the start of the season and getting back 80 cents on the dollar. That's not good business. So Chris Jones doesn't have too many options of recourse here. I don't think he's made enough money to say to the Chiefs, well, hey, I'm good. Like, I'm financially set. I think that's the money that he's trying to get now. So ultimately, I think he can huff and puff, and I don't think he'll show up to anything. But their first game, if they play it against the Houston Texans, I fully expect Chris Jones to be in uniform.
Two.
Also on Twitter, Chris Jones stated Le'Veon Bell showed him the way in regards to sitting out a season to get the deal he wants. Carrington, do you believe the Le'Veon Bell sitting out and potential Chris Jones sitting out situations are comparable?
No, I don't think they're comparable for this reason. Le'Veon Bell was on his second franchise tag. The Le'Veon Bell situation is different because he played his rookie contract. He tried to get paid. He didn't get paid. He got tagged the same way that Jones got tagged. He then went to work, played the one season on the tag and made $12 million. And then he asked for another contract and they didn't give it to him. And then he said, I'm not playing 2 years on the tag, and sat out. He made twice as much money as Jones has made in his NFL career by the time he decided to hold out. Not many people who have made $6 million in their NFL career. And let's give him five more in endorsements. So he's at 11, 12 per for the 4 years he's been in the league. It's good money. It's a great life. They're offering you 16 to play one season on a team you want to play for and continue to give you the opportunity to get closer and closer to getting the contract that you want. You got to sign that deal. So no, I don't think it's like the Le'Veon Bell situation. I don't think that the two are comparable because Bell did play 1 year on the franchise tag where Jones is trying to get paid before the first tag.
Three.
Knowing everything that we know now, it appears the Chiefs made a decision about Chris Jones back when they traded for Frank Clark. Excuse me. Let's jump back into our DeLorean and head back in time. Knowing what we know now, would you have traded for Frank Clark knowing it meant Jones would not get a long-term deal?
Yeah, I would, because I don't think you win the Super Bowl without that contract. I don't think you go to the Super Bowl without making that trade. They needed Frank Clark last year. From an attitude standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, energy, that's the player that they needed. You needed to bring in guys like Tyrann Mathieu. You needed to bring in guys like Frank Clark. They had and brought a toughness that you didn't have two seasons ago. So I don't think they win the Super Bowl without Frank Clark. Now, he didn't have a great regular season, but his attitude in the postseason, especially in helping them stop the run against the Tennessee Titans, they needed that level of toughness. So if you can hop in the DeLorean, as you said, and the worst case scenario now that we know is you win one Super Bowl, you put yourself in a position to win two of them, and you let one of those two players go, I don't think that's a bad worst case scenario. Is it ideal? No. But it was never going to be ideal if you have to pay one player the highest contract in the history of the NFL. Somebody was always going to get the squeeze. That person just appears right now to be Chris Jones.
Four.
Based on a report from The Athletic, the NFL is considering having fans sign a waiver to come into games with the coronavirus. Would you sign that waiver?
Hell no. This is nuts to me. I'm serious. This is nuts to me. Now, I continue to say this. I'm not in the business of telling other adults what to do. You are grown. Think for yourself. Do for yourself. But I do think it's important as an adult to seek out the information from people who are more knowledgeable in certain subjects and listen to them. That's what I try to do in this situation. I don't know anything about the coronavirus. Everything I know, I get from scientists and doctors and people who are making it as their life's work to study it. Not media person that reads articles. I try to listen to those people and listen. And this sounds wildly unsafe. Wildly unsafe. And maybe you guys are just at different levels of comfort than I'm at. I don't feel comfortable being around that many people. Like, I felt uneasy last Friday when I went to my sister's graduation. That I had the mask on, and some people were wearing masks there, and some people weren't wearing masks, but I wasn't going to miss my sister's graduation. So I put the mask on. I did what they told me to do. I made sure that we were 6 feet apart from people I didn't know, and I was handling like that. But I'm just not that pressed to go to a Chiefs game. Like, I'm not that pressed. I understand that some people, that is the activity that gives them the greatest joy. And Chiefs games are fun. Like, Rob, I've kind of reached the point that I assume a lot of other NFL fans are. Man, going to an NFL game is just a long day. You got to leave at, let's say they play at 12. You got to leave at 9:30. You got to deal with the traffic. You go to the game. You don't get home until 4:30, 5. You miss the other second. It's a long day to go to an NFL game. So I like the convenience of staying at home. I can watch that game. I can follow the rest of the league. I'm just not that pressed to go to games. So this doesn't really do much for me. But there are fans out there that would sign this waiver. But my question to be is, why would they make you sign this waiver? Because they know something that you don't know. It's wildly unsafe to be in this situation. Wildly unsafe. And I understand that we all have different views on this. And for some reason, it's turned into some political issue, like, which just blows my mind that now talking about this virus that affects all of us, it's weird to me. But I just have no desire to be around that many people I don't know. And if you're telling me that I got to sign waivers to do these things that I enjoy that I never had to before, it just tells me that it's not time for us to be doing it yet. You know, I love going to the movie, Rob. You and I have been talking about this movie Tenet for 3 months. Since you got here, we've been talking about the movie. If I had to sign a waiver to watch the movie, I don't want to see it that bad. I'll wait till it's on Fire Stick Records. I'll wait till it shows up on Cody. I don't want to see it that bad. That's how I feel about these NFL games. At some point, I'll go to an NFL game again. At some point, I'll go to a college football game or a college basketball game. That's dead for me in 2020. I'm good. No thanks. I'm not going. No interest in it. And that concludes the hits for today. Before we catch up with the mayor of Kansas City, I want to play this audio for you because, well, Boston is gonna Boston.
The dap in, the Superman in, all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski. Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
Boston fans might be my least favorite. Like, I don't really have any issue with Oakland Raiders fans. I like making fun of them. I don't have any issue with them. Cowboys fans are delusional. Cowboys fans are the 42-year-old that still talks to you about how they were the man in high school. Like, bro, you haven't done anything since 1991. You've done nothing. You haven't accomplished anything. Why are you talking to me about being the prom king? That has nothing to do with today. That's what Cowboys fans are. Boston fans are just dumb. Like, there's no other way to put it. What is this guy talking about? Why does he make it seem like the rest of us don't watch Patriots games? I watched the Patriots. Did we not watch Aaron Hernandez when he scored touchdowns, make it rain? Did he say that they told Gronk to shut up and block? And that's what he said that they did to Rob Gronkowski? What? Rob Gronkowski was out here hosting cruises. Rob Gronkowski has a touchdown celebration. Rob's whole personality is based on partying and being the frat boy. Now they told Gronk to shut up and block, and he likes that they rein players in on the Patriots. They signed Antonio Brown last year. What is he talking about? Doesn't even make any sense. You don't sign Cam to not let Cam be Cam. The issues people have with Cam are not related to his ability to play football. Every time people tell you they don't like Cam, it's always based in some foolishness. Well, I don't like the way that he dances. What? So you don't like 80% of NFL players? Even Mahomes has a little bit of swag. He's wiping his jersey off, counting to 10. I like that. It's entertaining. You got issues with Cam's wardrobe? Has nothing to do with his ability to play football. Cam's still paying for the sins of pouting in the Super Bowl. That's what it is. Cam's still paying the sins for pouting at the Super Bowl. And it was a terrible look. And I didn't like that Cam did all the dancing during the season. And then when they lost in the Super Bowl, he pouted. I didn't like that. But I'm over it. People still hold that about Cam. But to come out and say what is outright lies and foolishness is beyond me. Like, we get the Patriots games in Kansas City, too. We have the internet. Nothing you said in that a minute and 4 seconds is factually accurate about the New England Patriots. They treat this Patriots way like they do something that the rest of us don't know. You know what your Patriots way was? Having Tom Brady on your team and Bill Belichick. The rest of the team did what they wanted. They did. Right now, we're very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, joining us on the drive. Mayor Lucas, really appreciate you coming on.
It is good to be with you all. I hope everybody's doing well.
Everybody's doing well. Speaking of text, you certainly have had a very strange week. What has this week been like for you on a personal level? Aside from the city, what has this week been like for you on a personal level?
Well, you know, on a hyper-personal level, y'all may know that I'm a balder gentleman. I keep my hair cut short. Today there was a fellow city councilwoman who came up to me. She said, "Man, you missed a spot on the back of your head." And I was like, "Why everybody let me look so grimy so long?" But now, more on the deeper sense, it's been interesting. We ordered masks to be worn in Kansas City. We think it was a pretty light requirement, just being worn inside. There was some real, you know, blowback for that. Some folks sent some particularly nasty messages, including racial slurs, doctored photos, threats about harming me, or at least enjoying if I were to be harmed and, I guess, killed. The sorts of things that are entirely unnecessary in our modern society, but sometimes that some people feel the need to do.
Right now we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. I remember asking you at the beginning of this thing, do you think that you would require masks? And you said that you didn't know if it could be enforced or if you had the resources to ensure that everybody had a mask. We've certainly seen a change in society and definitely locally over the last couple of weeks. What led you to make this decision to require masks indoors?
You know, related far more directly to the science, to the data that we had going down at the time. And, you know, for most of our health and medical experts, there was this idea that we needed to actually have a rule like this one to keep people safe. And so that's what made it a thing. I think the fact that there is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people who have masks. We've seen how quickly they have been able to comply, all that sort of stuff. It's been the sort of thing that has made sense. So that's why we're doing it. That's, you know, just one step as a part of it, and we'll make sure that we'll do whatever we can to keep people safe.
We are not too far removed from the stay-at-home orders. Do you think there's a chance we go back to that, given the current state, not only in the city but around the country?
You know, I really hope we don't. I mean, but when you look at places like Arizona, Texas, Florida, places that, as you know, are not, you know, some like liberal breeding ground like Berkeley, California, Massachusetts, and they're all saying, hey, you know, this is spreading too quickly. It's a real problem. That tells me that we need to actually wear our masks to try to avoid a situation like that, make sure that we're, you know, protecting each other, protecting ourselves. And so I hope we don't get there. I'm just, you know, you can never be sure what's ahead.
Right now we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. So much of the early fight against the coronavirus was about flattening the curve, and now we've seen spikes in Kansas City. What do you attribute those spikes to?
You know, I think from the jump, when we were talking about reopening, you know, there are some challenges to that. We knew there'd be more people that were around each other. We knew it certainly wouldn't stop the spread. And so, you know, that was, I think that's an issue and a fallout we're dealing with. I think what we want to make sure is that there's not an unconscionable amount of new community spread. I mean, I got a COVID test yesterday, got results back already that were negative. But, you know, I think it's very clear that the more people are out, the more they're around, the more risk there is. And frankly, we've been seeing a lot of that in recent weeks. You see it at football teams, right? You see it in a lot of these tighter spaces we're getting back into quickly.
So you got tested yesterday. What kind of test was it? Because the one test that I'm thinking of with that long Q-tip, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Lord, I did that, man.
Oh, hell no. No thanks.
No. Did it right and left nostril. And So the first one only lasted a little while. The second one, she kept it in there for like 30 seconds. I'm like, nurse, I'm about to pull this out and just run off or something. It was, you know, it's an intense one. But you know what? I'm happier now knowing that when I talk to my mother, I talk to people in my family, people at the building I work at, you know, there isn't an issue of me spreading it to them, at least not right now.
So let's focus on some of the other issues in Kansas City, non-coronavirus related. The fight on the plaza to get J.C. Nichols removed from the name of the Country Club Plaza and the Fountain. Tell us a little bit about that fight and what's the process of going about finding a new name for it.
You know, I think the process for that one, I mean, we've got a temporary name right now, at least for the park. It'll be Mill Creek Parkway, right? And the Fountain currently has no name. We're going to go through, a process that has lots of public involvement, because we learned that from the Paseo issue. Make sure everybody gets to be heard, everybody gets to have different ideas, and hopefully that we have a name that really means something to Kansas City and to Kansas Cityans. And so that's what that one is about. And, you know, what we won't do is rush it. I think we always mess up in government when we don't give folks the time to have their voices heard, whereas we'll give it some real time to make sure that we're hearing from Kansas Cityans.
One suggestion that I have for the Fountain, I talked about it on the show yesterday, I would name the Fountain after Buck O'Neill, and I would maybe put a plaque around the Fountain that would encourage people to throw money into the Fountain, and then any of the money that's thrown into the Fountain, I would donate it to the Negro League Baseball Museum. What do you think of my idea for the Fountain?
You know, you're my most demanding constituent yet, right? I think it's a fine idea. And actually, Buck is somebody that I think we should recognize even a little more, right? I mean, if you've been around, you know how foundational he was to us ever getting a Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. But it is interesting that there are people that may not know enough about his legacy and his importance for our city. So I like that idea, but what I'm going to do is make sure I don't hop into one versus another too early. I'll make sure we're hearing all the good ideas that Kansas Cityans have for us.
Do you guys have any timetable on when you guys would rename the plaza or rename the fountain next to the plaza?
You know, honestly, we don't. I think we are saying right now, let's make sure we listen. Let's make sure we're doing the right thing in time. Give more than enough time for research, more than enough time for public comment. And, you know, and I think that's what our goal is going to be. Changing the name, I think, was overdue. We wanted to lower the temperature to some extent. We wanted to make sure that we were doing right by the community. And we heard from a lot of people who said that name doesn't, you know, symbolize what we want Kansas City to symbolize any longer. So we were happy to do that. But I think we're going to take more time with putting a permanent name on it.
Right now we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, for a couple more minutes. Let's talk about something a little bit more negative that's been happening in the city is the violence, and especially violence involving children. There was a 4-year-old that was shot in the face a couple of days ago. There were a couple teenagers that were killed. What's your reaction to what's been happening? And I know it's unfair to ask you one person, what's our solution? But for people that do care about the violence in the city, what's going on to try to curb some of it?
You know, we've got a number of different things that we're working on right now, and I can kind of start through the list. None of them are going to be good enough, but, you know, more efforts to try to get guns out of the hands of people, more efforts to try to make sure that we're building community police relations and trust, because one thing that helps people talk is if they actually like the police department. That's why, you know, a lot of your shootings, to the extent they occur in other jurisdictions, right, can get quickly solved, so we're trying to make sure we work on that. But, you know, a bigger thing is just going to be the fact that, come on. I mean, somebody shoots up an apartment building, right, on a weekend. People know what happened. There are some people that are walking around Kansas City right now who know what's up, who know what's happening. I really call on them to, you know, to actually just do the right thing. Right? Do you want to see another 4-year-old slain? Do you want to see more children getting shot, getting killed? And, you know, I think it's time for the community to step up on it. So that's kind of a big area of focus for us ahead.
As mayor, how disappointing is it that, I mean, it seems pretty likely that we are going to blow past the number of homicides and this city, like most cities around the country, we're on a shutdown for 6 weeks. Like, that's very disheartening that we couldn't have fewer homicides in a year that has been very abnormal for us all.
You know, I mean, I will note from the jump, I was confused by it. You know, I did not actually see that coming, which is crazy. But usually, you know, I got a feel for things, for different vibes, all that sort of stuff. But instead, I was like, man, we're shut down. Folk ain't got nowhere to go. And we see a 40% increase in homicides. We see an almost similar increase in non-fatal shootings, which is another huge problem in Kansas City. And so, yeah, this is something that's giving me grave concerns. And we're never going to give up. We're never going to stop working on it. But at the same time, I am going to make sure that, you know, we call out change where it needs to be done, even if in the community.
Last question here. We've seen violence on 18th and Vine over these last couple of weeks. The homicides we just talked about. What would you say to people that may not consider Kansas City to be safe because it hasn't appeared that way over the last 2 to 3 weeks?
You know, as a Kansas City guy, as somebody who lives at 18th and Vine, somebody who, I guess, for better or worse, been around for a minute with it all, you know, we've got our challenges. I talk about them. I talk about them because we need to fix them. At the same time, it's an amazing community. These are amazing places to be in. A lot of our shootings, unfortunately, have been after 1:30, 2 in the morning. That certainly is both of the 18th and Vine shootings, after everything had closed down. Some of our neighborhood violence is certainly something that we're trying to make sure we address. But, look, Kansas City's an amazing place to be. It's an amazing city. And I know we'll get through this. We'll get it figured out, and we'll come out even stronger.
That is the mayor of Kansas City joining us today on the show, Mayor Quentin Lucas. Mayor Lucas, always appreciate your time. You're always gracious to the show. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you.
We will react to what Mayor Lucas had to say coming up on the other side. Keep it locked in right here as The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison with Rob Brinton, who's torn up about the NFL preseason. I mean, you should have saw Rob earlier today when the news broke. Man, I can't see that third preseason game. Gosh, that's the best one. It's like, nah, man, they don't have it. That stinks. Goodell always takes away the fun. No fun league. I was like, I didn't know you were so passionate about the third preseason game. I had no clue, my friend. He's like, yeah, I love it. Go every year. I was like, all right, man. No preseason. The way that we normally have enjoyed it, there will only be 2 preseason games. Yo, if you're willing to sign a waiver to go to a preseason game, stay away from me and my family, bro. Stay away. Like, I could understand you risking the Rona for the first game where they put the flag up and they get the rings. If you're risking the Rona for Chiefs-Packers in August for the preseason game, stay away from me and my family. You got to self-quarantine for the next month if that's the game that you decide that you're rolling the dice on. I don't need that in my life. Coming up in a little bit, you know what? Since we do Mind of the Machine twice, I'm going to let Rob do his rankings twice. Rob, he put a lot of time and effort into these rankings. He gets excited when Sean's not here because he gets a chance to show his list-making ability. So we call him Levine's List. He has Rob's rankings. We'll do that in a little bit. I want to let Rob get some 5 o'clock flourish. You know what I mean? Some 5 o'clock flourish. So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. This actually just scrolled across my timeline. We'll play it for you. This is Adam Schein of CBS Sports. Here's what he said about Chris Jones.
Number one, I don't think Chris Jones would ever sit out the season. I think he would reluctantly sign the franchise tag, play for $16 million, and try to win another Super Bowl. I think Chris Jones is the second most important player on the Kansas City Chiefs.
What?
Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, number one, best, most important player in all of sports. But we had this conversation in real time last year. Chris Jones is everything to that defense. He's more important than Honey Badger, more important big picture than Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce.
What? What?
That's a take.
What is it even based on? He can't believe that. And I'm saying that laughing. It's not like I don't think Chris Jones is good. He's not the second most important player on the team. Can you be the second most important player on the team if you don't play and your team wins a playoff game by 20 points? Like, can you call yourself the second most important player on the team if that happens? Like, I didn't make that up. That happened last year, right? We saw it. They were down 24-0 in a playoff game. They came back and won by double digits, and Chris Jones was dressed in street clothes. Can you call yourself the second most important player if that happens? I don't know if you can call yourself that. Now I feel like I'm in a position like I'm talking bad on Chris Jones and I'm not talking bad on Chris Jones. I just think it's ridiculous to insinuate that he's second. He's like sixth, baby. You're pushing it, Tully. You're pushing it. That's pushing it. I'm happy I played that. I can't believe he said that. Very inaccurate. Very inaccurate what he said about Chris Jones. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to a brand spanking new Levine's List. I need to talk to you guys about a problem that I'm running into. It's a very serious problem, and I'm considering seeking help. So I was on Instagram earlier today, and I saw a picture of Breland Speaks. Now, you guys remember Breland Speaks. The last time we saw him, I don't want to sound crass, but he was a little doughy. He didn't look like he was in the best physical shape. Woo-hoo! He looked like Billy Butler. He looked built like Billy Butler. And I'm wrong with that. But we know that Billy Butler wasn't always the fleetest of foot. So if you're an edge rusher, not being fleet of foot seems like a problem. So I remember looking at Breland Speaks and I was saying it don't look good. It looks bust-ish. I didn't want to call him a bust yet. We didn't see enough. But it certainly had all the makings of being a bust. All the ingredients and components were there. So I hadn't seen Breland Speaks in a while. He's been sort of out of sight, out of mind. He was in witness protection like Tekashi 6ix9ine. No one knows where he is. So today I'm on Instagram and I'm scrolling. And then I see a picture of Breland Speaks. And let me tell you, he looked good. He looked like Aaron Donald. He was ripped. But I was sitting there looking at Breland Speaks, and I'm like, I might have to change my tune. I might have to look at Breland Speaks through a new lens and a new light. That I'm willing to do this. Right now, you can get Breland Speaks stock for very low. It's not being sold very high on the market. 20, 30, maybe 50 cents a share. We haven't had a Breland Speaks topic on this show in maybe a year. Not a lot of buzz around Speaks. Not a lot of conversation around the big man. But you know what? That's going to change. Because I am now a stockholder of the Breland Speaks bandwagon. Right now, I might be at the front. There's not a lot of people. But let me say this. I'm not buying a whole lot of stock. It's 20, 30 cents a share. I'm getting $10 worth. I got a hunch. You know, I got a hunch. If it doesn't hit and he ends up being a bust, hey, you know what? I lost $10. But if he ends up being a productive player, Rob, I want you to remember this day. And when I cash out my Breland Speaks, I'm going to make money here. I'm going to turn my $10 into 40 or 50. I'm not hoping that it turns into, I mean, obviously, I want it to be Netflix. I want it to be Apple. I want it to be one of those big stocks. But the odds probably aren't there. So you know what? I'm going to buy a little stock. I'm looking at Breland Speaks right now like he's AMC Theaters. You can get AMC at a good price right now. I'm willing to invest. Because at some point, movies are going to come back. People are going to be back at the movie theater. So I want to get in while the getting's good. That's what I'm doing with Breland Speaks here. So I'm now, text line 913-576-7610. You got an opportunity to buy into the Breland Speaks stock foundation. It's selling at 30 cents a share. I got $10. I got $10 on Breland Speaks. I'm hoping to cash out. Rob, are you willing to buy in on Breland Speaks stock?
You know what you sound like right now? You remember that scene? Have you seen Wolf of Wall Street? You know that scene when Leonardo DiCaprio goes like the penny stock and he like sells up this poor guy, all this money into this company that he knows nothing about? That's what you're doing to the people of Kansas City right now. You're selling the people on a photo on Instagram about his ability to look not good, but better than last year. Come on, this is shameful behavior.
Okay, you're right.
Is he an edge rusher or is he a D tackle? Is he putting that weight back on to be Aaron Donald, or is he going to keep getting more spelt to be Terrell Suggs?
Okay. Someone said, where's this picture so I can make an informed decision? Let me send them the picture. Let me send this individual the picture because I want them to see it. I'm just saying, if you look at last year, he was looking doughy. He did not look good. It was obvious that wasn't going to work last year. I am not an NFL scout by any means. But if I can look at a player and I can say, yo, this ain't going to work, how are the people that make millions of dollars not coming to the same conclusion? That I saw this picture and he looked good. He looked like he had a renewed focus in playing football. He looked like he was a lean, mean, pass-rushing machine. That's what we need. And I'm also encouraged by this. Look at what they did last year for Tano Passanio. You want to talk about a player who didn't seem to have a position and didn't seem like he was going to work out? That was Tano Passanio. Tano Passanio had bust written all over him. Second-round draft pick out of Villanova. Way more about potential than production. I didn't think they were ever going to get anything. I didn't think they were going to ever get anything out of Breland Speaks. Nothing. Or not Breland Speaks. Tano Passanio. Look at it. Tell me tomorrow that Mike Pinnell goes out. You don't got confidence in Tano to step in and be a productive defensive lineman? I bet you do. You could have got in on the same program that I'm on right now. The same program. Rob, I'm not asking you to put your life savings into this. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you right now to get in while the getting's good. Rob, when was the last time you even thought about Breland Speaks? When was the last time that when was the last time that you sat down?
What day did he get injured last year?
You sat down before your computer and even typed the name Breland Speaks into it?
It's been a long time. By the way, I actually just Googled him to look up some stats, and this is noteworthy. And it's noteworthy because of his body. Speaks will serve a 4-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. You believe that? Weight loss is legitimate? You got question marks now? I had forgotten this stat because he had been forgotten by every Chiefs fan in the world, but he did get popped last year for a substance abuse policy.
This is if I'm Breland Speaks, I'm serious. This is what I do. Now, I forgot that he got popped for that. You're right.
I had totally forgotten.
I haven't thought about him in a long time.
Out of sight, out of mind.
But let's say that it's for marijuana. I don't know. So I'm just going to keep saying allegedly. Let's assume allegedly this is about marijuana. Under the new CBA, he wouldn't be tested for it. So if I'm the NFLPA, I'm saying, hey, the rules have changed. Now, if he took some performance-enhancing drugs, it's a different thing. But if he's out for smoking the ganja burn, and now they're not testing for the ganja burn, then his suspension should be lifted. He shouldn't be under it anymore. So I don't know about this. I would fight for this if I'm Breland Speaks. Somebody said 30 cents is pushing it. You guys won't invest 30 cents in Breland Speaks? I'm doing it. I'm giving everybody a one opportunity. Text line 913-576-7610. I'm giving you one opportunity to get in at this bargain basement deal for Breland Speaks. Because that's what I'm doing. I got $10. Somebody said fun fact about stocks that are less than a dollar. You have to buy 100 of them. So you'd have to buy 30. All right, cool. That's fine. I'll get $30. I mean, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but all right, cool. I'll go 30. 30's nothing. I can live with losing $30.
You're putting $30 on a guy we don't know is going to make the roster. Are the Chiefs going to care? I'm happy I Googled him because I had forgotten about this mention. With Taco Charlton, Alex Okafor, Tano Passanio, the kid they just drafted, Michael Danham, is that his name?
I don't know.
They got four pass rushers right there that can play or eligible to play all 16 football games this season. You think Mr. Svelte is
Mike Dana?
Four pass rushers,
the
not
fifth
named
round pick out of Michigan. We're certain that this guy's making the roster. We're certain this guy's making the roster.
If he makes it, he can play all 16. Okay, That's something Breland Speaks can't do.
If Breland Speaks can't make it over the fifth round draft pick, 177th pick out of Michigan, then maybe this NFL thing ain't for him. Maybe it's not for him. It's definitely possible. If you can't make it over this gentleman, who seems like a practice squad millionaire to me. I'm just here giving you the opportunity.
Did I mention Frank Clark? I said Okafor, Passanio, Clark.
Jones.
Jones.
Yeah, that D-line's tough.
Yeah.
That D-line's tough.
You are throwing money away.
But now with this new body, he might be able to play linebacker. Oh. He might be able to play standing
up. Bob Sutton
up.
Tried this. We've seen that experiment go.
Well, Bob Sutton was coaching him. We got Bob Sutton coaching him. Before we get out of here, let's get to a brand new Rob's Rankings. Rob's Rankings.
We've never finished the show with a rankings or a list.
I'm giving you this.
This is wild times. By the way, as I said earlier, happy Bobby Bonilla Day to you and yours.
Yeah, I don't want to cheat you, man. We do Mine in the Machine twice.
Yeah, no, I got you.
You worked hard on a Rob's Rankings. I want you to have the opportunity for our 5 o'clock audience. I want you to tell them what you worked hard on. Your Rob's Rankings.
Well, on Bobby Bonilla Day, I picked the top 10 worst contracts in Kansas City professional sports history.
Breland Speaks might be on this list.
I don't know. Rookie con. If they had to eat that second round money, yeah.
Breland ate it.
Yeah, well, and apparently then lost it.
That wasn't right. I'm sorry,
Breland. That was cold-blooded.
I apologize, Breland. But you know you was a hefty boy. Hardy.
Number 10, Sporting KC man Johan Quazay.
He was husky. That's who he was.
He was thick.
Husky.
Number 9,
thick
Storm.
As, thick as women. He was husky. Nobody wants to be husky after the age of 12.
Number 9 on the worst contract in Kansas City sports history, Storm Davis. He was coming out for World Series. Royals were excited. He got 3 years, $6 million, 4.85 career ERA with the Royals.
Storm Davis sounds like a vivid entertainer.
Mm-hmm. Number 8. DeMario Williams, you mentioned this earlier. The Chiefs have been chasing inside linebacker the entirety of my life.
They certainly have.
At post Donnie Edwards, that's been a position they've been really trying to fix. DeMario Williams was an outside linebacker in Atlanta, and they thought, this is our guy. 5 years, $16 million. Didn't work out.
If you were making a Chiefs checklist every year from 1999 until basically today, interior linebacker has always been a question mark for the Chiefs. Always been a question mark. Like, they've never had two of them. They've always had one, maybe one and a half. They ain't never had two, though.
No. And before the text line blows up, Derek Johnson.
They always had DJ. They were always looking for the guy to play opposite DJ. They were looking for him for 12 years.
Number 7 for my Sporting KC fans, Luis Marin. He was brought in to be the goalkeeper in 8 appearances. He gave up 13 goals.
Did he give up 13 goals?
8 appearances.
He's
13
terrible.
Goals. He then was cut. Number 6.
He has to know that the objective is to block the ball from coming at him, right? 13 in 8 games. Goodness. I don't know who this man is, but I know. I played enough FIFA to know that ain't good.
It's a low conversion rate. Number 6, Juan Gonzalez. I've been a proponent that 1-year contracts can never be bad, but when you give it $4.5 million to an old man to patrol right field at Kauffman Stadium, and he retires after the season following, that's a bad contract. Number 5, Kendrell Bell. You know what? A young Rob was excited because I knew Kendrell Bell's name, and I played some Madden, and Kendrell Bell was gonna be great. He was a Steeler. But in reality, he was an often injured, wrong scheme guy who came over. 3-4 linebacker playing the 4-3, never worked. They gave him a 7-year deal. He played 3 of them. Number 4, Benito Santiago. Despite the only fact he only played 49 games, we should have seen the writing on the wall with this one. If the Royals signed a 39-year-old catcher to be their everyday catcher, you know it's not going to work out. It's just dumb to think it would. Number 3, Mark Davis. He was the former Cy Young Award winner. The Royals gave him 3 years, $14 million. His ERA neared 5 in his Royals career. Number 2, Bam Morris, notable drug dealer. Also played a little football for the Chiefs.
Notable drug dealer. I don't know why that's so funny to me. It shouldn't be funny, but it's funny.
And then number 1, the Chiefs spent real offseason money on a kicker named Lynn Elliott. We know what happened from there. And that is today's Rob's Ranking.
Known drug dealer. If somebody did a documentary on Bam Morris and Tamarick Vanover and the drug trade, that would be a really good documentary.
I would watch that.
I don't know if Bam would do it, but that would be really good.
I don't know either guy would do it. Actually, I don't know if any of the characters would do it.
Bam might do it.
Bam, to Mark Vanover. You'd have to talk to can't talk to Guthrie anymore. RIP. You'd have to talk to Marty, Carl Peterson. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't signing up for that documentary.
Bam might do it. Bam had 100 kilograms of marijuana and 1 gram of coke, bruh. 1 gram. And then he was caught up in it again. Had another 100 kilograms. I don't know how many 100 kilograms of marijuana is, but it sounds like a lot.
I'm going to do a quick Google. 100 kilograms equals what?
How many pounds is that? I don't know. I don't know the metric system. How many pounds is 100 kilograms of marijuana? Way more than you're using for recreational purposes.
Good Lord. 220 pounds.
Goodness gracious.
100 kilograms, 220 pounds, yeah.
You got Tony Richardson in the trunk. 225? Goodness gracious. Okay, all right, well, kind of makes sense why he went there. I feel bad for laughing at the gentleman for that.
That's a lot of marijuana.
A bunch. I'm telling you, you got Tony Richardson in the trunk. There was a question before we sign off for the day. It was from our friends in K-Man. They do radio in Manhattan, Kansas.
Oh, boy, what a
They
Kurtz
have
do.
A question that says, what's the better movie, Karate Kid or Rocky? This isn't a real
what?
Question, right? I got to text Kurtz and make sure that everything's on the up and up. This can't be a real question. Rocky is the best sports movie ever made. It might not be your favorite, but Rocky is the best sports movie ever made. It is an incredible story. Now, it's the typical rags to riches story, but the way the end scene is, the character development, like you feel like you genuinely know these characters by the time they get to the fight. That's hard to do in a movie that it's the first one. They do an amazing job on Rocky of building the story. And it's the perfect balance between the love that he has for Adrian and boxing. The training montage is incredible. Rocky 1 is it's a great movie. The rest of them just became like good boxing movies. Rocky 1 is a great story. So I think Rocky is the best sports movie ever made. Karate Kid's a fine kids movie. Yes. Fine little teen sports movie, but come on now. Come on.
I mean, if we're going to do like Rocky 2 or 3, we can have a conversation. Would you vote? What are the poll results so far?
Let me click on it.
Because if it's not 90-10, I'm upset.
All right, it's 75-25. That's what it should be. That's what it should be.
I'm happy it's a blowout. I'd still concern 25% of the people that vote on that poll are wrong. Well, but that's neither here nor there.
The internet's stupid. That's what we've confirmed.
That's a good point.
The internet has confirmed. Are you planning on spending $40 for your cutout to be at Kauffman Stadium?
I'm not. Are you?
For the show purposes,
ooh.
I actually think it's really smart to
buy. You gonna throw $40 on that or a Carol Baskin cameo?
I'd rather have the thing. But if I'm doing it, I want my picture to be directly behind home plate. Directly behind home plate for every game this season. Having your face on the camera in a 6'10 shirt would be worth the $40. I'd spend the $40. It's worth it. But I'm not putting it where nobody can see it. Don't put me in the outfield. I don't want to be in the Pepsi fountain seats. I want to be in the Marlins man section. I'm not standing in general admission. I got a table at the club. That's what I'm saying. Hey, it was a lot of fun today. We really appreciate you listening. One more show this week before a 3-day weekend for the 4th of July. Stay happy, stay healthy. It is The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.